What sort of pains are there that you might end up facing that might make you say, I'm more willing to set aside Jesus right now and his word than to bear a cross? What sort of pleasures are there in your life? Things that you're going to chase after and hold on to that would make you say, I'd rather love self than love God. But if we set aside our suffering for the sake of avoiding pain, if we follow after pleasures of this life instead of following after the promises of God, Jesus has a strong word of warning. And we deserve that rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. Because when we begin to set aside our cross, when we begin to put self over God and his word and his plan, we begin to follow the wisdom of this world, the things of men, and really behind it, the lies of Satan. The ultimate lie and temptation of our enemy is that we will save our life if we set aside suffering, that we will save our life if we take everything we can for our own goodness and try to attain goodness by our own path instead of the path that might involve hard times and following Christ.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country. September 16th, 2018. Today's message is based on Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 35.
It'll be fun, I said. And it was fun as we started off and felt the invigorating morning air. They didn't hesitate to grab their helmets, hop on their bikes, and follow after me. And then it was still fun later on as we finally made it to the trailhead. For those of us that had mountain bikes, it was challenging. For the child that was on his 14-inch banana bike from the 1980s, probably tricky. He was the first to fall down. And after a while, we hit a few difficult turns, and there were a couple scrapes, a couple scratches. It started to get hotter out. It was still something of fun. And then finally, after a couple more falls, a couple more wipeouts, some tiring, dripping sweat, and even a few tears, we made it back to the trailhead. But we still had to get back to our house from the trailhead, and that sun, which had wakened us to the morning of the day, had turned this invigorating cool air into a sizzling heat, and the ride back was actually mostly uphill, hence it was fun on the way down. And we found ourselves soon running out of water. I started to use a different term. I said, maybe we can frame this differently. It's an adventure. And sure enough, we longed for that chance to finally be back and done and have it behind us. I said it would be fun. I didn't say it would be easy. That's what life is like sometime, right? And our Christian journey in the family of God is one that certainly will have times where we feel we're coasting along and things are a breeze, but also, as Jesus tells us, as part of God's family, it won't always be easy. In fact, we can expect, as God's people, hard times. This morning we continue our sermon series looking at family values. That is, what does God value and what does he tell us as his family to expect? And we see this morning and learn that as we look at Mark 8, we as our family, as the people of God, we expect hard times. We also see how we make it through, and why it's worth it. Jesus' disciples, you can imagine, might have begun to think that they would never be fazed. Nothing could get in their way. Just consider how what they had seen from this man. It was really starting with this first miracle. Some of the friends of Mary's family ran out of wine at a wedding. At Mary's request, Jesus turns 120 gallons of water into wine. Problem solved. But we're with Jesus. Good times, glory. And you could imagine as things went on how it seemed like that would always be the case. When Peter brought Jesus to his house, he found his mother-in-law was ill. No problem, Jesus heals her. And Jesus, when he was confronted by even something as great as demons, he rebuked them, silenced them, and drove them away. And when Jesus encountered obstacles, he showed his divine power over illness, over death. Even as Jesus, his own person, was threatened in Nazareth, and they were going to throw him off a cliff, it says Jesus walked right through them and went on his way. Can't touch him. He's God's son. And when they were fearfully in that storm, in the dark, in the sea, there's Jesus calmly sleeping until he wakes up, rebukes the wind and the waves, and there's a great calm. Disciples must have been thinking, we're with Jesus. Glory awaits. Because they knew who they were with. This was more than some ordinary man. Jesus asked them, who do the crowd say I am? And they all considered him to be someone great. But the disciples knew this man, Jesus, he was a man that was greater than their wildest dreams could ever have imagined. And when Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Messiah. That is, you're God's chosen. You're the Savior of the world, the very Son of God. Glory had to be ahead. But Jesus helps his disciples see what to expect. And yes, he was God's Son and he was performing miracles, but from the very beginning, he was also living in lowliness, never using those miracles to his own advantage, living a lowly, humble life. Even when he was a young child, he had to run for his life and he had to flee to Egypt because someone wanted to take his life. And even as he grew older, he lived a hard life. Jesus faced setbacks. He lost friends like John the Baptist to death and his own father, Joseph, his earthly father. And Jesus himself knew what it was like to face hard things. He said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head, living without a place to call his own." And he tells his disciples, it's only going to get harder, as he tells them the path that lies ahead. We read in Mark chapter 8 that Jesus explains to his disciples very clearly. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus is basically telling them, the path that's ahead, it's going to be hard. And he had alluded to this before, as Jesus spoke of his suffering and death, but says he spoke plainly about this. Now Jesus is clearly and directly teaching, and very bluntly saying, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be killed and rejected. Well, Peter, it appears, won't have any of it. Peter sees the path that Jesus was going to head down and he takes him aside from the other disciples. It says he rebukes him. Jesus, you're the chosen one, the Messiah. You can't be rejected. Jesus, you can't suffer. What is this about suffering many things? You're the Savior. And so it says Peter rebuked Jesus. The term is used for when one rebukes a small child. Jesus, you're on the wrong path. We don't know the words he used. But an argument ensues. And the argument erupts as Jesus turns around to Peter. And it says, he rebuked Peter. And he says very strongly, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind God's things. You have in mind human things, mere human thoughts. Peter, it seems, was just trying to help. But Jesus makes very clear, if a Christian is going to turn aside from suffering, that they're to be quickly rebuked. And if they turn aside from Christ's suffering and his cross, it deserves an immediate, strong rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. Peter was thinking about his own ideas, his own plan, the path that he wanted to take, not the path that God said he must take. And notice, this is not optional. Jesus says, as he explains to his disciples, I must suffer, I must be handed over. I must die. This is the path Jesus is not saying fatalistically, I give up. No, Jesus is saying, this is the path that's ahead, and this is the path I'm going to take. So when Peter speaks out against Christ's path, he speaks out against the very plan of God and what God had in mind for this world. And then Jesus goes on. And he helps you and I understand what we are to face as those who are part of the family of God and what we can expect up ahead. He says, as he brings the crowd and his disciples along, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to follow me, Jesus says, they must completely forget about self. They must take up their own cross and follow me. And Jesus is not describing the way that we save ourselves. No, he's saying this is what you expect on the road of faith as we follow after him. To deny self means to forget about our own desires, our own agendas, our own goals for our life. It's to say that my intentions, my goals are not the best. It's to forget about that heart which cries out and says in each of us, not fair, my way, I deserve better. And it is to say God's plan is best. To deny self is for a little child to say more than simply, they can all have the first donut, but to say, I will make everything I do, every action, every thought, not about me, but about God and about loving others. That's not an easy thing for this sinful, rebellious heart to do. To say, I'm not going to follow my plan, but God's plan. To set aside our own personal pleasures and desires to follow God's way. Jesus says also, not only are we to deny ourselves, that is to say, I'm dead to self, but we are to take up a burden and take that path which involves suffering. He says, whoever wants to follow me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To take up a cross is to face a suffering, a pain, or some burden because you follow Jesus. That cross can involve, as you follow him, persecution, rejection. That cross can involve people ridiculing you as they rejected and ridiculed the Christ. And that cross can even involve pain, physical pain and suffering. And to put it more broadly, that cross really includes every suffering in this life we face that leads us to wonder if we're on the right path. To take up our cross and to follow Jesus is not an easy thing, is it? How easy is it for someone when they're going off to the secular university and they're told, you follow Christ? You believe that the Bible is true? And how there's a temptation to, so that they don't suffer, deny their Lord rather than to deny themselves. And when they're told, well, how could you possibly believe what God says about sex? What God says about honoring marriage? What God says about his plan for men and women? The things of this world would say we put ourselves first, regardless of what God might say. The things of God is to bear a cross of ridicule and suffering for proclaiming the truth of God's word. How hard it is for Christians to bear that cross sometimes when they face that suffering. And all the more to wonder, as you're facing this hard road and going down it, is it worth it? When I see what others face, and I don't face that if I set aside Christ. Peter, ironically, would end up denying Jesus instead of denying self. Remember what he did? It was there as he saw his Jesus, his Lord, his Messiah, as he called him, suffering. And he saw the many things Jesus was about to face as Jesus was bound in the courtyard and tied up and on trial. And Jesus, in that same courtyard, was in his vision, his shot as Peter said, I don't know the man. And Jesus was denied by the same one who had confessed him, because Peter didn't want to suffer too. What sort of pains are there that you might end up facing that might make you say, I'm more willing to set aside Jesus right now and his word than to bear a cross? What sort of pleasures are there in your life? Things that you're going to chase after and hold on to, that would make you say, I'd rather love self than love God and love others. The sinful heart would rather love self and hold on to self than deny self. The sinful heart would rather set aside a cross than face suffering. But if we set aside our suffering for the sake of avoiding pain, if we follow after pleasures of this life instead of following after the promises of God, Jesus has a strong word of warning. And we deserve that rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. Because when we begin to set aside our cross, when we begin to put self over God and His word and His plan, we begin to follow the wisdom of this world, the things of men, and really behind it, the lies of Satan. And so this rebuke stands, and Jesus warns, as He speaks very clearly here, whoever would come after me must deny himself, must take his cross up. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. The ultimate lie and temptation of our enemy is that we will save our life if we set aside suffering, that we will save our life if we take everything we can for our own goodness and try to attain goodness by our own path instead of the path that might involve hard times and following Christ. And Jesus says, if that's your path, you will lose your life. That is, you will lose membership in the household of God. You will lose your connection to your God and the promises He gives you. Whoever wants to save his life by his own efforts will lose it. But following Jesus is worth it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. When we set aside what the sinful heart says will bring us joy, and we say, no, I will follow Christ. When we set aside self and say, that's dead to me. And when we follow God's word and His promise, we find something. The world might say you've lost life as you confess Christ and they ridicule. The world might say your church is too strict. And they'll say, you follow that Christ? And you may lose friends. You may lose respect. You may even lose your life. But Jesus says, for His sake and for the gospel, you have found life. That is, you have something far greater worth than anything you could attain for yourself. You have the promise and gift of God. Jesus promises this because He did it for us. Yes, He was a man, this man who faced these many sufferings, but He was much more. He was the Son of God, fulfilling God's plan. I must take this road, Jesus says, as He denies Himself. That is, Jesus makes His own comforts, His own pleasures last in order that He might make us the object of His love. And in order that we might not be cursed and under that suffering, Jesus takes up His cross. And fully forgetting about self and His own pleasures and temporary joys, He says, I will deny self for the sake of you. And for you and for me, our Lord Jesus faced that many sufferings and that cross. For you and for me, He died that we might have life. And that our crosses are not punishment for sin. Our crosses are simply following in His tracks, leading to where He has gone. Because Jesus says, you have life. And just as He said, He rose again on the third day, promising and fulfilling that for us. That if we follow Him, we know what's in store. You know, when I was on that bike ride, I was thinking, I wonder if I'll ever get them to go on another bike ride after this. Certainly was not the last bike ride, but I think it was one of the more memorable ones. So before we headed out in the next one, I told them, you know, if you come with me on this bike ride, we're gonna bike to the donut shop. And I'm gonna get you a donut. You should have seen how there was no hesitation, and how they quickly got their helmets, they hopped on their bikes, and we headed out on our way. And yes, it wasn't entirely easy. It was hot out, and there were a few bumps, but they kept going, knowing because something was promised, it would be worth it. And it wasn't because they faced that heat, or because they stumbled along the way, or worked hard to get there that I gave them those donuts. No, it was a gift. Same thing for us as the people of God. God has promised that at the end of our journey, as we follow Him, something wonderful, and it's far greater than just a donut. And yes, our trials, our sufferings, will be far greater than simply falling off our bike. It will be facing our cross. And it will involve forgetting ourself, denying ourself. But what are you going to do? Are you going to deny yourself or put self first? Are you going to take up your cross or set your cross aside? We know what to expect. Amen.